إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: الولد مبخلة مجهلة مجبنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable علماء اكرام، respected brothers and elders, to continue with our topic with regards to raising children in an Islamic way. Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein the Nabi of Allah says, أربعٌ من سعادة المرء. Four qualities form the good fortune of a man. Four qualities form the good fortune of a man. أن تكون زوجته صالحة. Number one, that he has a pious wife. The very quality, if we have to analyze it from a material perspective, then the good fortune of a man would be if he has a beautiful wife. But the Nabi of Allah says, أن تكون زوجته صالحة, that he has a pious wife. وأولاده أبرار, and he has obedient children. Who are obedient children? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, هو الولد إذا رآه يكتب الفقه. It is that offspring whom you find engaged in the service of deen. These are indeed obedient offspring. وخلطاؤه صالحين, and he has noble companions. وأن يكون رزقه في بلده, and that his sustenance and his income and his livelihood is in close proximity to his house. So he doesn't have to travel far. Allah has made such arrangements that perhaps he has a shop across the road, or he has a surgery adjacent to his house. Those that enjoy these four privileges, with a pious wife, obedient children, noble companions, and their sustenance is very easily accessible and available to them, indeed this is a fortunate person. The ayatul kareema that I have quoted before you, Allah Rabbul Izzat says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Verily, your wealth and your children is a great test from Allah. The hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam substantiates the nature of this test. Last week we spoke on the aspect of children being a great boon and a ni'mat and a favor from Allah. The reverse side, the flip side of the coin, that with this ni'mat it is a great challenge from Allah. The Nabi of Allah says, الْوَلَدُ مَبْخَلَةٌ مَجَهَلَةٌ مَجْبَنَةٌ. Many a times children make their parents misers. Constantly, because you have the desires of your children before you, you tend to become reluctant in spending in matters of deen. My son has asked me this, my daughter has asked me this, I promised my son a vacation. So what happens? مَبْخَلَةٌ, you start holding on to your wealth. مَجَهَلَةٌ, many a times your children make you ignorant. In the profound love that you have for your children, at times you start arguing with those people who are the well-wishers of your child in the forms of the ustad of that child. And wallah, brothers, without digressing, may I add, I had in the years of teaching numerous incidents, those parents who side with the ustad in the reformation of their child. It's not a matter of siding against the child. It's done in the interest of the child. Which father dislikes his child, or which ustad wants to prove a point? But those parents who will join hands with the respective ustad in molding that child, inshallah, you will see that deen will remain in that generation. On the contrary, I have seen with my own eyes, those parents who come and have an attitude and feel they can silence that ustad, perhaps in compliance to the regulations of that madrasa, that ustad would silence himself. But I swear by Allah, whose control is my life, I make the statement in the house of Allah, you have ended and terminated the spiritual journey of your child that very day. That is the end of knowledge in that generation. We cannot, let me just put things into perspective. Many of us are here intellectual from an academic perspective. The tartib and the sequence of imparting deen is totally different. I don't want to digress into that. Anyway, the Nabi of Allah says, many a times children make their parents ignorant also. Brothers, the greatest question that today everybody is asking, and I wonder if anyone can answer, is why are the youth of today so rebellious? Why are the youth becoming so disobedient? One is, of course, you know, the medical perspective. The child doesn't listen. He suffers ADD, attention deficit disorder. Medical, scientific terminology, medical connotation, physical expression, whatever it is. There are many reasons. One is, of course, the environment to what the child is exposed that plays a vital role in molding and misleading and beguiling the child. But before we go on to those aspects, let us first analyze our own lives. As parents, is there any wrong on my part because of which my child is suffering? While every father wishes to impress on his child the good and hopes that my child doesn't see my evil and my child doesn't carry on with my evil, this must end here. We must understand, until you and I will not discipline ourselves, we are living in a fool's paradise. Very well said, but let us ask ourselves, is that workable? Oh my son, do what I tell you to do and don't do what I do. It doesn't work that way. Oh my son, do what I tell you to do and don't do what I do. It doesn't work that way. Let us analyze, in the light of Quran and Hadith, what are the contributing factors from my own self? Because really, brothers, fathering a child is, just as it's a challenge, it is a disciplinary measure, not only for the child, but for the father as well. Every step, every challenge is there to discipline you. To start off with the first thing, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, birru aba'akum taburrukum abana'ukum. Be kind and loyal and faithful to your parents, and Allah will make your offspring kind and loyal and faithful to you. Man asa walidayhi lam yara surur min waladihi. Stern words. He who disobeys his parents will never see joy from his children. He who disobeys his parents will never ever see joy from his children. May I hasten to add at this juncture two things, brothers. One is, generally when the child disobeys, then I say, you know, but I don't think I have ever done this to my father. I know I was naughty and perhaps I had hurt my father. That wouldn't be upon my conscience that my father will have to speak. That I cannot decide who is a good child amongst my children and at the same time decide that I was a loyal son to my father. That my father has to decide, and my father knows how many times I've offended him or not. And another thing that may I add at this point, brothers, many a times we are guilty that we have offended our parents, and then as the reality dawned upon us, we repented, we abandoned that, we asked for forgiveness. And when we ask for forgiveness, we expect instant results that now my children must start complying to me. The example of that I commonly give in the following way is a person driving on the road and he's driving at a fast speed and the camera flashes him and he picks up a ticket. When he sees the camera flashing, he says, oh well, I'm driving fast, I better drive slow. From there onwards he can drive slow, but that does not mean the ticket will not come. Inevitably the camera has flashed. When you had caused pain to your father, perhaps he had pardoned you and he had forgiven you, and that's the nature of a father. But the time that your father had to sigh with pain, inevitably the repercussion and the negative consequences of that pain will catch up with you in your own children. To move on another step, one pious person said, whenever I disobey Allah, I notice my children and my conveyance rebel against me. Whenever I disobey Allah, I notice my environment, my children, my conveyance, my horse, camel, whatever it is, rebels against me. To substantiate this aspect, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, whom Allah had blessed with a vast kingdom which extended beyond insan and went into the jinnat and the animal kingdom as well. Allah, one day he was examining and he was, you know, taking a roll call of his entire group, the followers, insan, jinnat and the animals. And there was a bird by the name of Hudhud, which was tasked to find the exact location where there's water. The bird would indicate that there's water beneath the earth here. The jinnat would then come dig, water would gush out, wuzu would be made, and then they would perform salah. So one day Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam realized that this bird is not here. So he said, Mali la aral hudhuda am kana min al ghaibin. Mali la aral hudhud. What is it that I don't find this bird? The ulama say he first looked into himself. And there's a quotation in the tafsir under the commentary of this ayat, إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That the quality of our great ancestors was, whenever they failed to accomplish their objective, they first examined their actions. Whenever they failed to accomplish their objective, they first examined their own actions. One person came to Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh. Brothers, I know personally of a man who came to me crying. He says, Maulana, these are my sons. He invited me for a lecture. I went there, gave a talk, and then we had an informal discussion. He says, Maulana, these are my children. Make a lot of dua. They are really disobedient to me. But I know why they are disobedient. I have filled their bellies with interest money. I know. I'm just waiting for their systems to flush this haram. I'm staring at the faith which inevitably comes my way, which is the consequences of my own evil. I'm hoping their systems can flush this evil contaminated wealth that I had put in the bellies of my children, which I know I am. With tears in his eyes, he told me this himself. One person came to Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi, makes mention of this. He says, a man comes to an alim, and he says, my son here has hurt me, offended me, and he has even hit me. So the alim says, subhanallah, al-walad yadribu al-ab, you mean the child is hitting the father? He says, correct. Anyway, this alim then asked the father, هَلْ عَلَّمْتَهُ الْقُرْآنِ, have you taught your child Qur'an? He says, no, I haven't taught him Qur'an. هَلْ عَلَّمْتَهُ الْعِلْمِ, have you disseminated the knowledge of deen to your children? He says, no. There's a beautiful discussion in the books of hadith where people were debating which is a greater legacy to leave behind, wealth or the knowledge of deen. And then they directed this question to Abdullah ibn Abbas. So then he gave the answer and he said, of course, the knowledge of deen, because wealth is the legacy of Pharaoh and the knowledge of deen is the legacy of prophets. Wealth, the more you spend it, the more it decreases. Wealth, the more you disseminate, the more it increases. Wealth for every cent, you will be answerable. Knowledge for every cent, knowledge for every hadith, your status will be elevated. It's a wonderful discussion. Have you ever taught your son Quran? No. Have you taught, هَلْ عَلَّمْتَهُ الْأَدَبِ, have you taught him morals, values, principles? No. He says, إِذَنْ فَشْكُرْ رَبَّكَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَضْرِبْ رَأْسَكَ, then you should be grateful that your son hasn't killed you. When you haven't invested in this boy, when you haven't imparted anything to him, what do you expect from this child? One person came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and he says, oh Umar, my son is very abrupt to me and he's very aggressive to me. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu admonished the son and told him that, do you know Islamically you must respect your father and you shouldn't be harsh and you shouldn't be arrogant. So after the boy heard it and he absorbed whatever Umar radiallahu anhu told him, he said, Umar al-Mu'minin, can I ask you a question? I acknowledge that my father has rights over me. My question to you is, do I have any rights over my father? Like the Quran says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةِ, that the husband has rights over his wife, the wife also has rights over her husband. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, under the commentary of this ayat, says, whenever I come before my wife, I adorn myself because I want her to beautify herself for me. In the same way, it's my obligation to her. If I want her to be striking in her appearance for me, I should also conform with her desires, that I dress in a manner that is appealing to her. So I agree. But on the contrary, O Umar, may I ask you, do I have any rights over my father? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, of course you have rights. What are the rights that I enjoy over my father? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, three rights. Number one, it was the duty of your father that when he got married, to select a noble spouse who will mother his children. That's the first duty of your father. Number two, when you were born, to give you a good Islamic name. And number three, as soon as you matured and you could understand and comprehend, to convey and impart the knowledge of deen to you. Brothers, the madrasa here or any madrasa across the world, they are helping you in fulfilling your duty. If your child dies without understanding Quran, Allah will hold no ustad responsible. Indeed, they are your well wishers to join hands with you in fulfilling your desire, in fulfilling your duty. Otherwise, it is your responsibility as the father. The child stands up and he says, oh Umar, with utmost respect to my father, I want to negate all three. My mother is a slave girl. My father has named me with such a name, I don't even understand what it means. And my father hasn't yet taught me Quran. Umar radiallahu anhu then turned to the father and said, you have betrayed your son before he could betray you. You have been disloyal. تزوجوا في الحجر الصالح فإن العرق تساس. Oh my Sahaba, get married in a pious family because the traits of your wife and her family will be transmitted into your generation. Just not that woman, the family from where she comes, my Nabi says. So brothers, indeed, in essence, one of the greatest challenges is raising children. When we look at Quran and Hadith, and we understand, we find that every Nabi was directly tutored by Allah, was nurtured by Allah. أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِ. And we find two elements that come across loud and clear in the nurturing of every Nabi. One is the element of kindness, which I spoke about in detail. The other aspect, and that is from time to time to discipline. The Nabi of Allah said, وَلَا تَرْفَعْ عَنْهُمْ أَصَاكَ أَدَبًا. Keep your rod hanging. وَأَخِفْهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ. And warn your children regarding the disobedience of Allah. Let us look at few incidents. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam are the most beloved to Allah. Inna akhlasnahum bi khalisatin dhikra ad-dar. Allah had favored them. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Wallahu yakhtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. These are numerous verses which explain the love that the Anbiya had. Yet when it came to the need of disciplining, Allah did not spare it. Allah did not spare. There can be no one more beloved to Allah than Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. But in part of nurturing Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam and molding the Nabi of Allah, I will quote 2-3 ayat, otherwise the Quran is filled with it. The Nabi of Allah is sitting, there are some high profile kuffar. There is nothing that is trivial. When a child is doing something wrong, brothers, with love, with kindness, you have to stop it at that very time. Otherwise, that evil will grow into him to such an extent that my Nabi said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ. If someone comes and tells you that a mountain has moved, tell the man, I believe you. But if someone comes and tells you, this person has abandoned an evil practice, tell him, I don't believe you. It's easier for a mountain to move than for a man to abandon an evil practice. That evil with which the child is growing, Hazrat Amr ibn Salma radiallahu anhu, the foster son of Nabi alayhi salam, he comes in the care of Nabi alayhi salam because Nabi alayhi salam got married to his mother. He says, I was sitting there and I was, as a child, I was eating and my hands were moving around the platter and I was taking from here and from there. The Nabi of Allah pet me and he said, Ya Abdullah, Sammillah, wa kul bi yameenik, wa kul mimma yaleek. Take Allah's name, eat with your right hand and eat that which is in front of you. The Nabi of Allah is sitting. What I'm saying, speaking is about discipline. Brothers, what is vitally important, let not your closeness with your child ever provide a platform. Let not your closeness and your intimacy and your love and your bond for your child ever provide a platform for him to take the courage to ask you concession in the matters of Allah. He must understand the limits of my love, the limits of my closeness is, I can never ask my father, Daddy, I want to go movies with my friends. That father, this is the time where you are at the crossroads. Are you a biological father or are you a father as well as a Muslim father? At this juncture, it will determine what role are you playing in the eyes of Allah. This is the time where you are caught up. You love. Nobody loved Nabi alayhi salam more than Allah. But there were moments where Allah had to shape his Nabi for generations to come so that this noble personality could reflect guidance. High profile kuffar sitting. The Nabi of Allah is seated there. And he is having a discussion with Utbah, Shaybah, Walid, Ubay ibn Khalaf. And a blind Sahabi comes. And a poor Sahabi comes. And the Nabi of Allah found his presence at this critical moment to be slightly intruding and disturbing. And this inner quality which he felt manifested on his face in the form that he frowned. There was a slight frown on the face of Nabi alayhi salam. That this is my Sahabi. I love him. If he could just understand, I'm busy with some influential people now. These are important. If they can take on Islam, Islam can spread from here onwards. If he can just bear with me. But at this time, more important than these people accepting Islam was to discipline his Nabi. Allah sent Jibreel with Quran. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَذَّكَّى أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى. You are frowning and turning your face and running to those whose hearts are heedless and shunning those who are running willingly to you. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. He comes running to you, Abdullah ibn Maktoum, and he humbles himself and you feel uncomfortable. After that day, the books of hadith record, whenever this noble sahabi made a presence in the company of Nabi alayhi salam, my Nabi told him, marhaban biman aatabani fihi rabbi. Welcome to that sahabi regarding whom my Lord has admonished me in the form of Quran. So yes, I love you, but there has to be. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah tells him, come to Mount Tur, I will give you the Torah. And with you, you bring 70 people. As he's coming with them, in the joy to meet Allah, in the anticipation, he hastens and he comes there before the appointed time. As soon as he gets there, excited and, you know, anticipating anxiety, Allah says, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى Musa, I told you to come with your followers. Why did you come before them? In Ruhul Ma'ani, it is written that in this question, Allah gave subtle implications to Musa, disciplining him that as a senior, you had to travel with your people. You have hastened and come here, but I have to discipline you now, O Musa. فَإِنَّا قَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ. In you hastening, in you hurrying, in the process, your nation got involved in worshiping the calf. Immediately, Quran came down. Brothers, the point being stressed is, despite the love, if that is the way, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, the beloved of Allah, he leaves his nation without the permission of Allah, without the command of Allah. As he comes and he boards onto the boat, إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ, when he runs to the laden ship, and as they move in on the ship, they fear it's going to sink. So they decided, let's cast lots. When they cast, they find the name of Yunus alayhi salam comes out. فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ, he jumps into the water. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ, Allah sends the fish to swallow Yunus alayhi salam, not to punish him. Allah never punishes a Nabi. It is our belief a Nabi is ma'soom, is divinely protected against sin. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءِ, Allah speaks in the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, we divert evil from a Nabi. One is to shift you from the fire and one is to shift the fire from you. Allah says we divert evil from the Nabi. So every Nabi is divinely protected. But ta'deeban, as a disciplinary measure, Allah keeps Sayyidina Yunus in the stomach of that fish for 40 days. And then he implores Allah. And Allah says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ, had he not implored me, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, he would stay there till the day of Qiyamah. فَنَبَذْنَاهُ بِالْعَرَاءِ, we then cast him on the naked shore, وَهُوَ السَّقِيمُ, while he was sick. In essence, brothers, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam tells Allah, the storm is coming, the floods are coming, save my son. Allah said, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ, no, that is not your son. Don't ever ask me a question what you don't know. وَلَئِنْ شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the ability, we can seize the knowledge we favored you with. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا, however, Allah is kind and Allah has favored you. These are just few ayat that explain to us the need of disciplining. Let us look it from the aspect of the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Take for example, Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu was the adopted son of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam was very fond of him and likewise of his son Hazrat Usama. Nabi alayhi salam was so fond and so attached to this child. The riwayat comes in Tirmidhi Sharif, second volume. One day the Nabi of Allah found some mucus flowing from the nose of Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu. You really have to love someone to clean a child's nose. Generally you do it for your own children, but it's not easy to clean someone else's child. You know, the mucus that is coming out of that nose, that would denote love and affection. The Nabi of Allah found that Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu, there was some mucus dripping from his nose. Nabi alayhi salam took a cloth and he was about to wipe the nose of Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu. So Aisha radiallahu anhu came and said, leave it, O Nabi of Allah, I will wipe it. Nabi alayhi salam says, no, it's okay, I will wipe it. Nabi alayhi salam with his blessed hands then wiped the nose. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha, Aisha, I love him, you also must love him. Aisha, I love him, you also must love him. This is the love that the Nabi of Allah, Hassan radiallahu anhu said, when the Nabi of Allah used to return from journey, he would first kiss Usama, then he would kiss me. Now let me tell you, when he came to the aspect of deen, there was a woman of status in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, she was guilty of theft. And then they decided that, she's a woman of high profile. Perhaps if the Nabi of Allah could work some leeway and concession, and she could be exempted from the penalty, indeed it would be disgrace to chop the hands of such a senior and noble woman. But then who takes the courage? Who's going to put the bell? Who's going to go forward? After much contemplation, they said, Usama, Nabi alayhi salam loves him. He's the pet of Nabi alayhi salam. He sits on his lap. Let Usama radiallahu anhu go. Usama radiallahu anhu comes running to Nabi alayhi salam. O Nabi of Allah, can I ask you one thing? What is it, O Usama? O Nabi of Allah, this woman, Fatima Makhzumiya, she's guilty of theft. She's a woman of status. Perhaps if you can accommodate the situation and exempt her. It comes in the riwayat, فَتَلَوَّنَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, that very Nabi who wiped the mucus of Sayyidina Usama got up and his face turned pale and he said, Ya Usama, أَتَشْفَأُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ, I love you my baby, you are my child, but let not it be that you ask concession in the matters of Allah. I swear by Allah, whose control is my life. You are talking of Fatima Makhzumiya. If Fatima, my daughter, has to steal, I will chop her hands in public view so the world can see the deen of Allah will prevail even at the cost of the hands of the daughter of the beloved of Allah. Oh Zayd, are you asking for concession in the matters of deen? He said, O Nabi of Allah, forgive me, istaghfirli. Ask Allah to forgive me. The ulama have written, when a child does wrong, immediately tell him to make wuzu and go on the musalla. Oh my son, you've done wrong from childhood. Make dua to Allah, ask Allah to forgive you. Another incident, brothers. Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One day he sees his nephew playing with a stone. He's a child, he's throwing the stone. So Abdullah ibn Mughaffal told him, you know what, Nabi alayhi salam said, you mustn't do that with a stone. You can hurt someone's eye, you can injure someone's tooth. Don't ever do that. Sometime later he comes and he finds the boy doing the same thing. As Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu says that, I told you, the Nabi of Allah said, أُحَدِّثُكَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ نَهَا عَنِ الْخَزَبِ ثُمَّ عُدْتَ تَخْزِبِ. I told you, my nephew, don't do it. Now you're doing it again. Wallahi la ukallimuka abada. I make you my witness from today till the day I die or you die, I will never speak to you. The riwayat comes in Tirmidhi Sharif, first volume, page 207, Kitabun Nikah. There's an occasion of Nikah. There are some women, some girls that are singing. In the joy of Nabi alayhi salam, when Nabi alayhi salam came to Medina also, Tala al badru alayna min thaniyatil wada, wajaba shukru alayna, that the 14th full moon has dawned upon us and has brought joy to us. So one day the Nabi of Allah was in the Nikah and these girls were singing some song, some poetry, cherishing their ancestors that were martyred in the Battle of Badr. And then one of them came into an ecstasy and she said, وَفِينَا نَبِيٌ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي غَدِي. And we are so fortunate, we have a Nabi who also knows the future. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, stop that girl. Stop that girl. Uskuti an hadihi. وَقُولِي أَلَّتِي كُنْتِ تَقُولِينَ. No, my girl, mashallah, very good. Today someone praise us, even if it's wrong, we will accept it so long as they salute in us. Nabi alayhi salam stopped that girl on the turn and said, no, I don't know the future. Take out this year and keep on singing what you were singing. Brothers, whenever it came to the aspect of deen, the Nabi of Allah loved Hassan. He was walking, he picked up a kajur of sadaqah. Nabi alayhi salam said, kakh, throw it out. What is that? Inna la na'kulu sadaqah. We don't eat sadaqah. Wallah, brothers, we have to now bring in the aspect of deen. Another very important thing, my time has left, is the aspect of dua. How much dua do we make for our children? One pious man gave me this advice. I told him, I said, make dua. The greatest fear, perhaps with which many people I know, definitely myself, with which we live, is Allah guide our children. Allah keep them on the straight path. I asked him for advice. He told me, Maulana, make it a point from today till the day you die, every day you read Surakat Namaz. Exclusively asking Allah to safeguard the iman of your children. The children of Yaqub alayhi salam came to Yaqub alayhi salam. قالوا يا أبانا استغفر لنا ذنوبنا إنا كنا خاطئين. Oh Father, we have transgressed the limits of Allah. We have disobeyed Allah. Ask Allah to forgive us. Yaqub alayhi salam didn't lift his hands and make dua. He said, قال سوف أستغفر لكم ربي. Inshallah, in the near future, I will make dua for you. The commentators have written, what was the wisdom in delaying the dua? He delayed the dua to the moments of tahajjud. My child has come to me and asked me to make dua that Allah must forgive him. The father disturbed his sleep, got up in the dead of night and then said, Oh Allah, these are my children, forgive them. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that he gives us the tawfiq to become the correct role model, to become the father like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, bless us with such spouses and such children who are the coolness of our eyes and make us the leaders of a righteous family. وآخر الدعوان عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.